Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community. On Monday, October 10th, on Conscious Corner, Professor Amin Ra and historian Joe Hembrick had an excellent show highlighting freedom fighter Fannie Lou Hamer, a hero for Blacks and humanity. I recommend that people check out this show. So let me show everybody where you can access it. So you can see it here on YouTube. Conscious Corner, Freedom Finder, Fannie Lou Hamer with Professor Amin Ra and historian Joe Hembrick on YouTube. And then also you can get it on our podcast. You go to recommendations. Well, not recommendations. You go to podcast, and then you can see it right here. And this is an audio of it. Very excellent show. And we really need to know about this wonderful person, Fannie Lou Hamer. Excellent, excellent. Okay, I'm your host, Rasaki Maskani. I would like to introduce the panel. Tonight we have here, we have Ms. Linda Shorter. She is one of our team members. We have Brother Mashinda. He's one of our team members, but he haven't officially joined on the website, but he's a regular. We got historian Joe Hembrick, and we got Professor Amin Ra. Tonight's guest is Sister Making It Happen. She's been with us. Matter of fact, she's one of our team members also. She's been around the whole time. She's a regular guest, contributor, and she's definitely an important member of our organization. Tonight's topic is the wonders of Nubia. So good evening, Sister Making It Happen. Please share some things about yourself and begin your presentation.
Good evening. Greetings, family, Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, and all that good jazz. Good to see everybody this evening. Like you said, Brother Rasaki, my name is Sister Making It Happen. I like that because I make it happen everywhere I go. You know, there's always a need for something to get going and get done in my circle. So I'm that person that makes it happen. I'm an educator by trade. I'm a mom. You know, I'm just a regular girl from around the way, right? Giving love to my community and helping shed light where I need to shed light. So I'm happy to be with everybody today and to share a topic that I find interesting and something that has brought great light to my life and allowed me to evolve where I am as an adult. And so I want to go ahead and share my screen. We're going to talk about a topic that I think most of us here will find interesting. We've had some experience studying it through our years educating and being educated. So do I have the rights to share my screen yet? I want to go ahead and share my screen. All right, looks like I do here. So let me go ahead and get this going. Can everybody see the screen? If you can see the screen, let me know. Can you see the screen?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, great.
Yes.
Oh, awesome, awesome, great. Participation definitely helps. So what you see here is my opening. It says enlightenment, spirituality, religion, and netters. The topic is the wonders of Nubia. So Nubia, we're going to get into Nubia. If we know where it is geographically on the map, it is south of Egypt. It's the southern part. So we're going to talk about the wonders of Nubia and the tributes to the ancestors who some known as the light of the world. So, you know, there's a lot of symbolisms you're going to see here throughout these slides. And I want us to be able to dialogue and as educators and elders in the community, have some communication about what we see here. So I chose the word enlightenment and spirituality, religion and netters. And we can see at the first slide here, we have two images, which look like perhaps dogs. We have a scarab in the middle, and we have a star above. And then we have, which looks like another circle with some, I don't know, lines or raindrops or something coming down. That's just something I quickly can point out. I'm sure you might see other things. And as we open up for questions and discussion, I'm hoping we can get back and highlight some of the things that trigger you or resonate with you in the slides. So I'm gonna go ahead and move on to the next slide. All right, give me 1 second. Okay, so there's a map. It says Nubia and Egypt connection. And there's a map that kind of got off the internet. Again, you can look and see, talks about Sudan, kind of up in the box there. You see Africa and the white square around it kind of showed you the area in particular that we're talking about. And in fact, let me go back. I don't even see the word Nubia here, but it's underneath. My picture is a little too big. So if you look at that map and you Google it or whatever, underneath there, you'll see Nubia. It's underneath that area there. But we're going to talk more about the connection of the two and why I'm making the connection of the two and how impactful Nubia is to the region. All right, so here's a treasure, a wonder from that region, Queen Tai. Was she Egyptian or was she Nubian, right? She's of the royal family of Nubian and also of the political family of Egypt. So there's a connection again that we can discuss. You know, she's a very powerful, impactful queen and has contributed a lot to the culture in that area. Take a moment to look at her, and then we'll have some discussion around some of the slides that you see. She's fabulous. I love her, so that's why she's one of the queens I picked. She's actually the great-grandmother, if I'm not mistaken, of Tutankhamun, King Tut. Now, here's someone that's really, really exciting. Know thyself, heal by using food as your medicine. This is Imhotep. There's that word again, Egyptian god, Egyptian god of medicine. Says the third dynasty, and it gives a little bit about who he is. Architect, minister, doctor. Imhotep is special to me for many, many reasons, besides the greeting that I say, Hotep, which means peace be with you. Let me go back up. It's the name of my oldest son, Imhotep. And so beautiful. He's actually an architect and a builder. And so in his mind, he really does his best to live that name, Imhotep. Here, I've shown this picture before. But the matriarchal society, mother is the giver of all. So Nubia and this culture honors women. And as we can see here, again, it's the sky mother, the sky god, goddess. And you see many, many symbols, whether they're yoga symbols, whether they're people supporting each other as they're being nurtured. There's a lot of conversation going on in these pictures. But these are some of the wonders of cultures that Nubia has left to the world. Matriarchal society, the mother, the giver of all. Oops, excuse me. I don't know what's happening here. Okay. Okay, can y'all see that picture?
Yeah,
this is a random.
Yeah, that's Valley of the King.
Yes.
Good. That's the Valley of the Kings. Good. We're going to have some great interaction and dialogue in a minute about these. I know the people that are looking at this have a lot of experience with some of these images. and we're going to have great discussion. But these are what I'm calling wonders of Nubia and the connection between Egypt and Nubia. And why was Egypt so fascinated by Nubia? What did they want from Nubia? What was in Nubia that Egypt wanted so much? Because it was a desire. Nubia had something, many things and treasures that Egypt wanted and wanted control over. I thought this was a nice picture here. Talks about, near Nubia, this island dedicated to the goddess Isis, who defeated the Romans. Beautiful picture. Great tribute, great dedication. Okay, I'm kind of coming up to the end. Just have a few slides for you. This one I really love because it talks about a lot of what's important to me. The yoga, the dance, the martial art, the physical fitness, all of this to me equals wealth. And our ancestors left a lot here. We can see many, many images here from the goddess Nut, which we saw that already. We can talk about the chakra system. There's so many things here for us to be grateful for in terms of wonders that Nubia left us, how it affected, Nubia affected the world. Okay, and so here's some references. These were some of the resources that I used to gather some of the information here from Stolen Legacy to the Medunetta, the Fortunes of Africa, and of course, Sacred Woman, Queen of Four. So, if you're not familiar with these bodies of works, we can talk about that as well. And then the last thing I have here before I open up for questions is a link there that I'm hoping that perhaps Brother Rasaki, you can help me get to, because this here is a blog and it talks about, again, a current issue that's dealing with the Nubian, an Egyptian connection for Egyptologists, and how finally Nubia is really getting the credit, I guess, that is due for the being a light to the world and giving so much to Egypt. So those were just some images that I wanted to share and some resources before I open it up to discussion. I'm hoping that you all found those exciting like I did. And I'm looking forward to the engage in discussion we're going to have. So that will conclude my presentation.
Okay, thanks a lot. I want to ask you about the Getty and your daughter. I think you mentioned that there was some type of display or something there at the Getty.
Yes, there
about Nubia.
There is an exhibit going on right now at the Getty, and it's at the Getty Villa. And of course, those tours are free. You just got to make a reservation. And we can get to that website. And if you'd like, I can kind of share that with you and show you some of the art. But they're focused on, to me, some of the things like the jewelry. I think they highlight like some of the gold. So it's nice that they're talking about it. And the more of us that, can see it, then we can kind of engage in that experience. So she is a writer for the Getty and she writes the virtual tours for the Getty. So that's how I was able to find out about the exhibit.
Okay. So let's go around the panel here. Sister Linda Shorter, questions, questions, comments?
I'm actually loving this, Sister, making it happen. This is so cool. But I just had a couple things to ask you, because one thing I just didn't quite understand. Can you elaborate a little bit more on the fitness? Remember you were talking about it with Nubia and the fitness, and you held up a slide.
Yes.
Which I had never seen that before. Can you please just go back just a few minutes, please?
Let me see if I can get back to that slide now, where I'm at. Okay. So yeah,
that's it.
That's it. So I'm into wellness. Fitness is about staying healthy and keeping our body strong and keeping the energy moving. And you can look here. These are yoga moves. but they're also, this is a technique, and they're talking about different techniques here. So you have the human body field here. This is a system of chakra and energies, understanding how your force field and your aura and how to basically keep it up and in good order and keeping you healthy, you know? So it's a process of learning. And so as I introduce this to you, you might want to research more about chakras. You might want to see, why do they have that flower over our head? And what is the connection between the sky and the earth? Because that's what is connecting you in the middle with the sky and the earth, with the mother, the sky covering you, and then the ground there covering you. You see the God of the earth, the cosmic father, and then you have the cosmic mother together supporting you in the middle. So it's really powerful, and it's been a lot of studying done. I'm not affiliated with this organization at all. I don't know these people. I just found this image, and I'm familiar with the images, and so I can communicate what we're looking at. Is an ancient Egyptian text speaks of all life pouring from the union of the father and the mother. So this is the life here, the circle of life.
Wow. Right.
So again, if you stretch like this every day, your body's going to feel real energized too. You're going to feel it running through you up and down, just like you had that middle person in the middle. So do a little bit of stretching, you know, in the morning, do that sun salutation, you know, lay your body on the floor, stretch out, you know, this is what that's about. So I'm glad you like that, sis.
Oh no, I love it. And then I'm just learning about chakras also. That's why I was like, wow.
Yeah. So again, that's energy that you have in your body, you know, and there's different levels of energy, you know, and the more that you connect with, you know, yourself, your complete circle of yourself, you know, and studying, you can make sure that things are operating in proper order so that you're in optimal health, you know, all the way around. So those represent like your heart and different areas, you know, your throat, your solar plex, you know, each color represents a different part of your body. So that's another presentation.
Okay.
And I'm sure that we can discuss it here too a little bit.
Okay. Just one other quick question, I promise. If, because you mentioned Imhotep.
Yes.
And, you know, actually, have you ever heard when people do, like doctors here in America today, when they do their oath to the, when they become a doctor, they have to do the oath to Imhotep. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Absolutely. I'm glad you know that. Amen. Absolutely. That's what this is about. We have to make sure that our children know that. We have to make sure that our children know who they are. So when they're in these classes and they're learning these sciences and they can see, because people will say things wrong, like because my son's name is Imhotep, and when my children are exposed to it outside of the house and the teachers or whatever, they're saying it wrong, you know, my children can correct them or help them to understand. And so we have to expose our children to this information so that when they see it and it's coming at them in another format, they know the truth. Thank you for your question.
No, thank you. Wow.
Should I stop sharing it now?
Okay. All right. Brother Mashenda.
Greetings, everyone. Can you hear me, Pastor Key?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to thank Sister Make It Happen for presenting. She's always insightful, and I appreciate the historical references that she's bringing on tonight. You know, I'm familiar with some of it, a lot of it, and I think it's very important information. You know, this Imhotep is one of my superheroes. You know, I got familiar with Imhotep years ago. Probably back in the, I don't know, maybe the late 80s or so. And, you know, I know a little bit about him, and know he's a polymath, you know, multi-genius. And once I, you know, learned some things about Imhotep, became very inspirational for me, because a lot of times, you know, the Western world that we come up, you know, that we're reared in, you know, it's kind of a one-dimensional thinking. You know, Imhotep was a multi-dimensional thinker. And so tapping into that space, you know, that energy, researching Imhotep somewhat, has inspired me up until today, you know, making me feel not so much invincible, but, you know, I can learn anything that I want to learn, you know, that it kind of unlocked that potential. And so I share that with, you know, a lot of different people, a lot of students and different things like that. But I know in the Western world, in Western medicine, allopathic medicine, you know, a lot of the doctors, they take the Hippocratic Oath when they, you know, that's, you know, under the Greek Hippocrates, that's my understanding. And him, you know, again, I'm not sure, I didn't know that Imhotep is getting his recognition today, but I know that, you know, the Hippocratic Oath is something that the Western doctors, you know, take allegiance to. So, you know, that argument, you know, Imhotep, world's first doctor versus Hippocrates, the Greek, you know. So one day I was driving in my car, and we're talking, like I say, years ago. And, you know, I always like to think that, you know, the Most High, you know, presents me with nuggets of information and truth, you know, through my spirit. And it was a commercial that came on, and it was just, it was a regular commercial. It was a hospital. I'm not sure if it was Kaiser or some, it was some major hospital group, and they were doing an advertisement. And the beginning of the
what happened to Brother Mashinda? Okay, I don't know what happened, but we're gonna go to Brother Hembrick, and we're gonna come back to Mashinda.
Oh, I looked. It was just a confirmation that to me that
Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda.
Yeah.
Brother, you have went out for about 10 seconds. Do you want to repeat that, please?
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Yeah, I was talking. The multi-gene. I was talking about the hospital group. It was a commercial that came on the radio as I was driving, and it recognized Imhotep as the world's first doctor. Very young brother that, you know, the multi-genius Imhotep was recognized in a commercial, you know, for a business, you know, a medical group. And I know in the Western world, we always talk about, you know, the, you know, Hippocrates and try to give credit to the Greeks as far as, you know, medicine and math and science, but we know the truth. So anyway, I just was sharing that was kind of a revelation to me that, wow, these folks, they do know. Yeah, they know more than we think people know. And a lot of the truth is kind of sealed and, you know,
he's back out again. We're going to go to Brother Hembrick.
Peace and greatness.
Okay, Brother Hembrick. Is Brother Hembrick there?
Yeah, I had to mute myself.
Okay.
Hey, go ahead. How's it going? Always a pleasure. You know, we family before we even got on here. But anyway, just a few comments. Getting into the matriarchal society, you know, down south. You know, I did presentations on this before about how I was, you know, matrilineal before it became patrilineal, and the sisters are the stuff to me in my book. And and talking about the culture with Nubia and Egypt and Ethiopia and Sudan, you know, it came from the south, so it just flowed up north. Actually, Egypt is said to be Ethiopia's eldest daughter, you know, but Nubia, or what the Africans call it, also went by the name of Tunisia. That area in southern Sudan, you know, and even further south than that, you know, where the stuff began, like the mystery system and all of that. But anyway, I want to comment on the slide you had with Goddess Nut when she was holding up the pillars of heaven. That's what that depicts. She has a hand on the vagina and a hand on the, well, goddess Nut has hand on the, you know, vagina and the breast. And it said that he's holding up the pillars of heaven. And, you know, Dr. Ben always talks about the original heaven, which was the female's reproductive organ. Anyway, you know, moving right along, I wrote something else down. About Imhotep, who the Greeks call Asclepius. If you read the Hippocratic Oath, you have Hippocrates giving praise to the god of medicine, but they have Imhotep with a Greek name, Asclepius. You know, they know, some of them know, a lot of them know, and that symbol that Brother Mashinda was talking about on the commercial, that's actually an Egyptian symbol, you know, the sister of the symbol of medicine, you know, the medical symbol with the, I can't recall, you know, all of the, yeah, well, you got it, all of that. So, but you know, like, in which the our people need to know everything that they claim is ours. They put a little spin on it to suit it to themselves, especially when it switched from matrilineal to patrilineal society, you know, putting a man, you know, it's a man's world now and whatnot. But always give praise and honor to the sisters. And I bow to them when they come by me, they wonder what the hell I'm doing. And I have to give them a little history lesson right quick. But, you know, great presentation. I look to hear more. And let me add another book to that list that you showed, if I may. The Black Man of the Nile and His Family by Dr. Yossi Benyakin. That book is very detailed in that regard. Actually, I've been sprucing up on this for a few days. Once I knew that you were going to, present on Nubia. But, you know, they all family down the Nile. Actually, when the Egyptians got to Egypt, a lot of stuff was built and the people was gone, which was probably the Twa, Grimaldi, Hutu, Kalahari, you know, because Samaka, the Sphinx, was a mystery to them. And you look in the Valley of the Kings and all those colossal structures there where, what's that, the Lincoln Memorial copy, with the president sitting there in the chair, that's straight from the Valley of the Kings. So everything that this European has presented to the world as his in the form of philosophy, law, science, medicine, and any other ology you could think of came from us. And, you know, we need to know and start to let the world know. But anyway, especially our people, so we'll wake up. And I love the yoga part and talking about the chakra. Yeah, Sister Linda, you sit out in that sun under God Ra and let him build up that chakra in your body, which gives you more energy and enlightenment to your surroundings. That's what it's for, in combination and mixing with the melanin. So that's what our people need to be doing. Our kids need to be outside in the sun. And as far as the health thing, we need to get on that. So we can live and share this information with those that are to come. So anyway, appreciate you, sister. You know, as always, I'm going to be quiet now and let them go to somebody else. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Brother Joe. Before we get to Professor Ra, the guests we had on were Conscious Corner and the CEN show. Ronnie Forrest delivered some books to me. And he had a friend with him. And this woman, she went and visited Nubia. And she went to the areas that, you know, people, I think they tried to discourage her to go, but she said, no, I was going. And she said when she went, it was just so wonderful. Hopefully we'll be able to get her on the show so she can discuss that. Let us give us the information that she, you know, about that trip. But she visited the area which they call Nubia. So I'm going to do my best to get Brother Forrest to get her on the show so she could talk about that. All right, Professor Ra.
Bye, Ghani, again, everyone. It's an honor to be here. And Sante Sana, Dr. Shabazz, for the excellent presentation. Appreciate what's been said, if I understand it correctly. And I'm glad you chose this topic, because Nubia has a major role in our development as their contribution to civilization, ancient civilization. There is also a prehistoric civilization before writing and before pyramids that Africans had, and that much of the learning came from that. And that's what Brother Henrik was saying, it came from the South. In Wallace D. Bull's book of the Dead, he talks about the influence of Egypt, Nilotic people, that was influenced by Africans who came up from the South. Egypt is supposed to be northern Ethiopia. At one time, the whole continent was called Ethiopia, 12 million square miles, and things of this nature. But an enormous amount of ideological and physiological contributions to world civilizations came out of the Nubian contribution, even in biblical texts. I think the origin of the name Nubian means girl, as you said, a matriarchal system, and also mean gold, because it was the golden era that they talk about. There's a lot to ancient history, and a lot that we need to figure out ways, as Brother Historian Joe said, to teach our children and teach them. One of the ways is that Black studies can be implemented two ways. One, through an academic process of establishing an academic department, and the other through covert methodologies. And like high school teachers could say, I just want you to do some research on Nubia as a research paper. It don't have to be long. You know, you're not trying to give them the right thesis. Just, you know, look into Nubia, look into other ancient, you know, most teachers are not trained to focus on that. But even English teachers can get them to do the research, grade them on their English writing, spelling, and punctuation, but at the same time, introduce them to subjects that enlighten them about their history and their culture. And that's what you're doing tonight. And I appreciate that as being a light of education. When we look at the Nubian society as it moved, and in Dr. Chancellor Williams' book, Civilization, Dr. Hakeem Mahadibuti would always say, how do we, the people that built the pyramids, end up in projects? And that's a for hell of a question. So we look at it and we saw how much of the history was stolen by the Greeks, just like most of America was stolen by Europeans. You know what I mean? This was Native American land, you wouldn't know it. So, you know, stealing history and claiming it as yours is part of the European history of claiming things. You know, he put a flag on the moon. You know, I mean, the moon belonged to the universe, but he swears it is, just like Donald Trump. You know, that's where he gets it from. But getting back to this point, that we look at the matriarchal systems, and J.A. Rogers' book, World Great Men of Color, he mentions Imhotep as the world's, as Lucinda was saying, one of the world's first multi-genius. And he describes all the talent he had. But Nubia has a biblical role. They had to mention Nubia and talk about the first Hyksos people before they were European, were African, and some even say of Nubian distinct. It's a challenge to excavate this information. When they go into the pyramids, they're really robbing grave robbers, you know, because the pyramids were were Muslims, Muslimism for people, and they buried them with their riches and their treasure. And that, I'm pretty sure, at that Getty Museum, those are a lot of the ancient Nubian artifacts that some of the ancient, some of the contemporary Africans are trying to get back. Because as Brother Hemrick said, the first thing people conquerors do is they go to the libraries and take all the information. That's where the information is stored, the maps, just the writings of the people. And that's how they learn about them and learn what's good, even in the book Stolen Legacy by George G. James, as you had mentioned, Sister, Make It Happen. He had a major role in exposing the hypocrisy of the Greeks and their role in stealing not only the artifact, but the legacy and the creations and the beauty of them, and then put a white face on it. That's where the white Jesus came from. From that standpoint, when we study religion. So it's a very good presentation. I have just a couple of questions. Some people say that the Nubians were very close to the Nile, the blue Nile and the white Nile, as far as that's concerned. Is there a major difference between the Niletic people and the Nubian people, or did they ever come together? You are just Joe Henry can answer that. Yeah, but you go ahead.
I'm gonna lean on my brother, the historian Hembrick, to assist with that.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, you know, they were all related, and the Neolithic just means people that live along the Nile, and all of them lived along the Nile, had access. Some may have been a little more inland than others, because one thing Nubia is known for is the rock quarries to build these massive structures. That's where the stone came from. But I don't believe there's any difference in the people. Is any difference from you and your cousin? Y'all from the same thing. So no, as far as I know, there's no difference in them other than the civilization moving up or down south, as they call it, over the years, like the relatives we had 300-400 years ago. We're not, you know, them, but no, it's all the same as far as I'm concerned. And even down there, you know, you talk about biblical, you know, like the Kushite Empire, you know, a lot of that biblical stuff is a lot of folklore anyway. Like, you know, when God told Abraham to go down and take that land, you know, he had a bunch of, you know, a little gang. He ain't had no army. He's gonna go down and deal with powerful Nubia and the Kushite Empire and all of that. No, so in my estimation, they're all the same. Some went north, even all into Europe and Asia and whatnot. You know, we're the first inhabitants of all lands everywhere. And it's all from primarily the same stock, if I can say so. They're all Black people of African descent, and they're practicing the same culture to a degree until, like, the Greeks and Romans came in, and the Assyrians, the Arabs came in, changing, they invaded, Hyksos and the like. So I hope I answered your question. I don't know if I did or not, but that's my take on it. Thanks for deferring to me, sister. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. And I just wanted to add on, if I could quickly, just if we think about, you know, evolution and anthropology and all that, you know, there has to be some differences from, you figure, the north, the south, the east, depending on the side they were. May have been major differences. It could have been an accent different, like the people from New York speak different than the people in California. So that's the only difference that I would say might be you know, they might use cayenne pepper, somebody might use curry. Those little differences there. But overall, one people.
African people. Yeah, for sure. And the other question is, when, you know, Nubia was known for its riches, its gold, precious metal. Some say the people didn't see it like that, you know, as far as gold is a major commodity at that time. You know, that became more of a, it's recognized for having gold, but the people were, just seemed like they were into just building monuments and building, because when you work together, you come together. To build the rock monuments and the pyramids and the agricultural aspects, it takes people working together, and that's how civilizations are built. And that the matriarchal system was even one that came from the South, because the first, you know, women had babies, and there was no compelling aspect to longevity relationships until socialization came about, and they were either acculturated or either socialized into longevity in relationships and clearly defined roles for men, women, and children that women did when they went from food gatherers to food producers. But what is your position on the queens of Nubia? And what contributed to, as Joe said, and you know, both of y'all can answer this, because Dr. Chancellor Williams talked about how Egypt turned from black to brown to white and black to brown to white through miscegenation. What do you think are some of the things that contributed to the challenges that the people of Nubia faced with the invaders of their land?
Well, I'm going to tackle that as best I could, and then I'm definitely going to look for the panel to chime in. But a couple of things struck when you said that. I was thinking, of course, of Hatshepsut. You know, I was thinking, of course, Queen Tai. And then I thought about Cleopatra. And these all look political moves. I know Cleopatra's, her whole thing was very political in everything, you know, her relationships with the Northerners and, you know, helping to really change the face of Egypt and of that culture, Nubia. But when I think of Hatshepsut, I think of spirituality. I think of the queens from the spiritual side, where their focus was more on, you know, the eternal life. And so that's kind of where the focus came there. And so what drove some of those kings to wanting those queens, because they wanted their reign to continue, you know. And so that's my contribution there. I think the queens played a powerful role, like you said, in terms of being at mama. You know, mama got to do what she got to do. And if food dries up here, we got to go. We got to move wherever the food is, you know. And also thought about, you know, the climate changes. Climate changes, you know, and seasons change. People have to move. And sometimes when you move, you may have to communicate with other people. You may have to form relationships to reestablish yourself, which eventually is going to change the face of things if you're reproducing and you're producing children. So those are my kind of contributions around the value of the queens and what they had to do and their impact to the changing of that culture.
And Sister Making It Happen, can I ask you a question regarding the queens? Are you familiar with Queens of the Nile now, the performance?
I know that, I'm not quite sure what you mean when you mean the Queen of the Niles, but I know that
was the dance troupe.
The Candessa Queens from out of...
That was a dance troupe. Yeah. That was put together by, I can't remember her name, but...
Sister Ingrid Thomas.
Ingrid.
And Ali Saab.
During Black History Month, they used to perform a lot.
Oh, okay. I may have seen them then. I may know of them. you know, but no, not too familiar. But you can definitely share anything about the Queens that we, you know, may need to know.
And from when I saw it, it was a little bit more than a dance. It was a performance starting with, from the now of all the queens from Nubia. Because you mentioned Queen Ty, you mentioned Cleopatra and Hatshepsut, all of them. Yes. And so what she did is Ingrid Thomas and her husband, Adisa, they put together a performance, and they were used to be in California and they moved to Atlanta. And she was doing it for children so they can get the aspect from high schools, what is about the Queens of the Nile.
Thank you. That's powerful.
And they're still doing it today, but again, they're based back out of California. And again, it's called Queens of the Nile now. And yes, Professor Ra is correct. It was a dance performance, but it was included. There was history, and she included the dance group, the dance portions of it, just to capture the attention of the youth. And it was all African dance.
They used to meet in San Pedro. They used to have events in San Pedro.
I'm not sure they had them all over. We had them at Cal State Long Beach in the pyramid where Arasha Key played. Nice. And it was a beautiful presentation. They had, a lot of props, pyramid props. They'd come in, brothers carrying the queen on and it was a beautiful presentation, you know, and they were recognized and nationwide for their performance.
Nice. Definitely look into that group and catch one of their performances.
Mike, can you see them on YouTube?
I'm gonna look them up also again too, because they were also, they had a narrator who was her husband, and he was telling the story while the dancers was dancing, because they were trying to reach people, everybody.
Okay. Brother Henry, did you want to talk about any of that, what Ra asked?
Yeah, I'd like to make a couple of comments. When he was asking about the significance of the Queens, for one, well, first of all, let me say that, before the religion or spirituality, it's the Netaru nature, which evolved into these names of these gods and goddesses to explain phenomena that was going on in nature, like the wind, the sun, water, and all of that. And let me just say this about the Queens, and let me go back to mentioning Dr. Ben's book, Black Man of the Nile and His Family. If you want to know about the Queens or Pharaohs, he lists chronologically dynastic period and pre-dynastic period of all of those Pharaohs and Queens and the years that they ruled and all of that. This was put together by a scribe by the name of Manetho, who originally put this together because the Romans were kind of pressuring them to find out, you know, the history of the people from the Nile Valley. And the Queens originally would get, and this is where the Adam and Eve story was derived from, as that the Queens would get the man, the king or Pharaoh ready to rule, I don't know if you call it a wedding, but when you're prepping someone to take a step into a position, it was the queen's duty to get them ready for that. That was part of their significance when the whole dynastic period started and pre-dynastic period. And this was before any major religion that we know today, before Jehovah, Jesus, Allah, all that. You know, this was way before that stuff was even in the being. You know, where the brother was on the potter wheel, you know, where they get Ezekiel was on the wheel and all of that. But anyway, let me move away from that, because I'm always advised to stay out of that area. So I'm going to take your advice, Brother Ra, and keep it pushing. Gold. Get to the question that came up about the gold. And let me say this. There's 90-something pyramids in Egypt. I mean, in the Nile Valley, excuse me. There's 96 pyramids, I believe. All of them were stocked with this gold and precious gems and stuff that they buried. First, it was with the nobles, and then the pharaoh thing came later. And these early invaders, the Assyrians, later became Arabs, they ransacked all of those pyramids before the European, before the British and the French got there. They had already been ransacking. And the only reason we know about King Tut, because that was one that survived. He was died a teenage pharaoh, really didn't do a whole lot. He was just a kid. And then in Hatshepsut's way down the line, you know, where she devised, I think it was 1550 BC, where she designed the first Planned Parenthood by, you know, I think it was Crocodile Dunge and honey and stuff like that that she inserted into herself to keep from getting pregnant because she was portraying herself as a man until her younger brother got ready to rule. But the only one that I say was flashing, as we say, flossing on the continent was King Massa Musa out of the Empire of Ghana, who has said he was the richest man in the world. And he went, he had a caravan, I don't know, about 1,000 camels, and all of them had like 200 pounds of gold on them. And he took a whole, I won't even say an entourage, I don't know how many in a doggone battalion militarily, but he took a whole lot of folks from West Africa all the way to Egypt. And they were, I mean, you talking about rims on a car? They had gold everywhere. Mm-hmm. Spears were gold. Matter of fact, I read an account where the horses, you know, you put a blanket on a horse, you know, before you put the saddle on. And the blankets was trimmed in gold. And the Europeans calling us cannibals, they wasn't even wearing clothes at this time. And we was putting stuff on our horses that was better than what they was wearing. Follow what I'm saying? So he's the one that was flashing, if you will, kind of an arrogant leader. Because when he got to Egypt, you know, it was Muslim at the time. You know, the Muslim invaders that came. You got to remember, we had this constant flow of invaders come in for those riches, and that's how the population scattered and moved to other parts of Africa trying to escape, you know, these invaders. Mm. And so when he got to Egypt, they had the caliph, whoever the top Muslim is. And, you know, most people got to kiss his feet and all that when they come and greet him. And Massa Musa told him, I'm just as equal to you. I'm not kissing nothing. That's and I'm right. Not bending down. So, that's all I want to say on gold. I forgot the other thing that was asked, but I did write those two down about the gold and the queens. And I'm going to turn it back over to the queen. Back on you, Mo.
Thank you so much. I hope we answered the question, Professor. Great question. Sparked a lot of discussion. So I'm sure if there's anyone else that want to contribute to that and have some input, feel free to.
Professor Ra, is that it, or you have more?
Well, you know, there's so much to our legacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we learned from the Nubians is the creative motif. See, when you move from survival to development, mm-hmm. and you have time to make art, and to build, mm-hmm. that means that you're putting progress in motion. See, it's one thing to be a food hunter, it's another thing to be a food producer. And as you get more affluent, Then you have time to think and do art and do philosophy and do question where the universe is and who created it and come up with any kind of stories you want. But, you know, you're not worried about nature getting you or other humans invading you because you have built an empire that allows the population to manifest. And that's one of the contributions of the people of the Nileitic River and the blue and the white Nile and the one that flow up, down instead of, or flow up instead of down. You know, when people go to Egypt, the first thing they want to do is ride the Nile, one of the longest rivers in the world. And one of the things you want to see is the wonders of the world. And this is what Brother Hembrick is, and Sister McAvin is talking about. Our contributions to the wonders of the world. And when Brother Hembrick is talking about the mystery systems, that's where your Masons and fraternities and sororities came from. And right now they don't know how the Nubians or the Africans built what they built. And many of them were sworn to secrecy, even though someone was tortured and tried to get as much information from the libraries and from the individuals as they could. They could never figure out how they built those pyramids so precise and so level the ground to the point that today architects can't level the ground the way the Africans did back in that day. So they start talking about levitation, they move them with their mind. Then they say chariots of the gods, the people from space came down and built it. And whenever the white men say, we don't know who did it, that means you don't want to give credit to African people. Because they were the only people there, so they had to be the ones who did it. So this presentation is very important. And we have to find ways to reach the masses that they learn from it and then practice it. Practice it. Learning history don't mean anything. It's the lessons you learn from it that you incorporate in your life to deal with the success and the failures, what worked and what didn't work. And time changes things, you know. And the whole calendar came from that era, the 12-month calendar. All of that, the naming of the signs, all of that, you know. And so it's just a beautiful presentation, Sister. I thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate that contribution, Professor Ra, Brother Hembrick, Sister Linda Shorter, and Brother Mashinda. So, Sister Making It Happen, do you want to leave us with something?
I want to leave us with a greeting of Hotep. I want to thank the family for the contribution and peace and blessings to everyone. Have a good night. It was great. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
you. Oh, no, thank you. Wow. I need to look at this again because this was great. I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay. So on Wednesday, we have our guests here already. It's Sister Linda Shorter. So, Sister Linda, can you tell us about Wednesday and what we're going to talk about?
I certainly can. We're going to talk about making it easy, making your life easier with Black inventions by Black people in America. That's not quite the title, but that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to come up with some subjects and break it down so we can understand why it's vital for us to recognize and what Black people have done for America, and not just America, the world, the whole world, with through their inventions. So that's basically what I'm going to be talking about, even though I didn't realize it's next Wednesday, but I will be ready.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to it. Yeah. Okay, everyone. Professor Rod, do we have anything for next Monday?
He's in the middle of a struggle, Damian Goodman. He's president and founder of the Crenshaw Subway Coalition. And we're going to try to get him on for Monday.
Okay, I hope that happens. If not, hopefully we can get him on.
If I can't get him, I'm trying to get Jackie Ryan, who was the owner of Zambezi Bazaar, African clothing store that used to be in the Mer Park. You know, there's a number of people that's a part of that coalition.
Okay, well, good.
All right.
Excellent. Okay, folks. Go ahead, Brother Hembrick.
Yeah, in parting, let me just say this. The area that we were speaking about today and the surrounding area is going through a serious famine. And we need to recognize that, and hopefully we can start to move towards providing some assistance, not just here, but there. It's really severe. The number of people that are dying from, you know, starvation and what have you. And I just like to mention, you know, that the whole continent, the oldest name known as Akibu Line, which the audience, you know, should know that, I mean, land of the blacks. So that's about it. Appreciate the opportunity to speak. Appreciate you, sister, as always. And let's keep this rolling and try to get into some doing. I know years ago we used to load up a bunch of bags of beans and rice and ship off to Haiti. It wasn't that, but the sister passed away. But hopefully we can do some networking and get some help to our people once we, you know, wake them up. We got the president sending billions of dollars over there to Ukraine and all that. And I ain't the only one I ever heard of doing anything from Africa was Fidel Castro. And they labeled him a madman. He was sending troops and aid to African countries. The only one I know of that has done it. So ain't nobody going to help us but us. And we need to get busy. All right.
I agree. Thanks a lot. Okay, Sister Making It Happen, please stay on as we part. So everybody, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.